Welcome to the Intelligence Briefing, What's the Buzz? Where leaders and hands-on experts in AI and automation share how they have turned hype into outcome. I'm your host, Andreas Welch, and if you would like to stay current on running AI in business, make sure to sign up for my newsletter at intelligence-briefing.com.
Today, we'll talk about upskilling your product team on generative AI. And who better to talk about it than somebody that's really passionate about that? Supreet Kaur. Hi, Supreet. Thank you so much for joining.
Hey, I'm excited to be here. I think this is a topic of interest to many and for me as well. So thank you for inviting me.
Fantastic. Hey, why don't you tell our audience a little bit about yourself, who you are and what you do?
So a little bit of my background. In 2017, I decided to come to the States to pursue my master's in data science and analytics. And that's where my journey started on this amazing realm, I would say. And I started my career as a data science consultant. I was working in the healthcare space, really impactful use cases like predicting the rare disease drugs for a patient per month. And then I switched to more of a product and strategy role. And I was close to 3 years in the consulting before I decided that, okay, this life is not for me. And I decided to switch to a product role. And that is where I am today.
Awesome. So sounds like you've already seen quite a lot in different industries and in different spaces. And I know you're super passionate about the topic and speaking as a professional in the space today. So I'm really excited to have you on. Now, for those of you in the audience, if you're just joining the stream, drop a comment in the chat where you're joining us from today. Really curious to see how global our audience is again. Supreet, should we play a little game to kick things off? What do you say?
Yes, let's do it.
Okay, fantastic. This game is called In Your Own Words. And when I hit the buzzer, the wheels will start spinning. When they stop, you'll see a sentence. And I'd like you to answer with the first thing that comes to mind and why. In your own words. To make it a little more interesting, you only have 60 seconds to complete your answer. So are you ready for What's the Buzz?
Yes.
Fantastic. Then let's get started. If AI were a season of the year, what would it be and why?
So we are in August right now. So I would say it will be fall. So if you're based out of East Coast, the weather is hot and cold. Early mornings are colder. And then it gets really hot. And that is how the AI hype has been. People have been excited about certain topics. And then that hype goes away and people start getting excited about something else. So I would say it's the fall season.
Thank you for sharing. Let's talk about the main topics of our episode. And we'll touch on some of these things as well. How it's super hot, how it might cool down, how it gets hot again. Where do you see the opportunities for generative AI at the moment for product teams? Why is it so hot? What should they focus on? Why does it matter to begin with?
So believe it or not, AI is going to impact the day-to-day of everyone. It's not just for product teams. I feel everyone is going to get impacted in some way or the other. You might think that the impact is positive or negative, but it's coming and it's here. So I think one thing that I have seen happening is that people are scared. They feel like it's going to replace jobs. But I feel more than replacing jobs, it's going to reform jobs. It's going to give time to professionals to have their creative juices on and think about things that matter more and that require human sentiments, human brain, human connection, and automate things that don't really matter. I think all of us can look around and out of 8 hours, I'm sure there are things that we find not so sexy in our day-to-day and we don't want to do them anymore. And I think that is where the AI can really serve as a replacement to some of those tasks. And just to name a few, writing meeting notes, creating slides. All of us have been there. All of us have suffered. Where we have writer's block. We don't know what to do. So some of these are the examples where AI can really help to automate and transform some of the process that we do every day.
I've been in a PM role myself before, and not only meeting minutes, but also what does the product do? How do we talk about it? How we describe it? And I think to your point, especially if you have more of a technical background, that's where your core expertise is. That's where your strengths are. But writing, it doesn't come as easy to us as to somebody who's chosen that as their main profession, right? But yet we communicate through information and through text. So great point here, how we can make that easier for product teams. I'm taking a quick look at the chat, and it's really awesome to see from where across the world people are joining us, whether it's Portland, Oregon, Zambia, Charleston, South Carolina in the US, New Jersey, Tanzania, Australia, Kenya, Colombia, West Palm Beach in the US, India. Fantastic. So thank you so much for joining us. If we talk about these opportunities for product teams, and yes, it's text heavy in many ways, and you don't need to be afraid that your job is going to go away, but there are opportunities where you can leverage it to become more efficient, become more effective, do the things you really like and are good at, and get rid of all the other stuff that we need to do in our 9-to-5. How can product teams then actually learn about generative AI and how they should use it? What do you recommend they do?
Yeah, I think the first step is that as a professional, you really know what your pain points are. And there are times in your day-to-day that you have thought to yourself, what if someone else could do this for me? We all have thought about it. So I think the first step is to pin down all those possible use cases. I am a data-driven individual. I've worked with data all my career, right? So I think one pain point that I've always had is, okay, how do I know what all this data means? I don't want to go through these data dictionaries. Is there an efficient way? And if you are working in a larger organization, you would know there are multiple SMEs. Sometimes even finding the right SME might take days. So is there one repository or is there a chat interface where I can go to and search all those data elements and what each of these means? So use cases like this, I think it's on all of the people who are in those teams to pen it down. And then once you have done that, you can talk to the experts, the AI experts, the AI engineers who can really help you solidify your idea that if it's even possible to be use case. But I think one thing I would highly recommend is don't be afraid of thinking about all those use cases.
I think that's already a very important point, right? A lot of times if there's a new technology and certainly so much buzz with all these different camps, right? It's going to help us, it's going to replace us, it's going to do this, it's going to do that. It's as revolutionary as fire, but yet will it wipe out humanity? There's so many polarizing points of using, I feel like it's hard to discern what is actually real, what does it really mean for my role, and what can I do? So I was wondering, maybe do you have some concrete examples of how can product managers, for example, stay sane in all of this flood of information and dissecting what actually matters, what is nice to know, what's important to know, what's maybe just for the headlines and the clicks? What's your recommendation? Where should product managers, for example, start?
Yeah, I think there is no one way, and I can just tell you how I stay updated is by tuning into podcasts like these, first of all, just to know, okay, what's happening, and then adopt things that are relevant to me. Just because it is new and it's shiny doesn't mean it's relevant to me, so you have to go with that mindset. So I think going with that filtration mindset is very important so that you can choose and absorb the right information. There is a lot of information in terms of articles, there are meetups that are happening, there are conferences that are happening where you can learn about everything, but you don't have to. That's the point, you don't have to. Once you have identified those use cases, then you can talk to other people in the industry and see what they are doing to solve that use case. That is exactly what you'll be able to see the comparison. And I think the other thing, what you really need to do is also think about the return on investment. Just because you have a use case doesn't mean that it needs to be implemented and it'll be cheap to implement. These things are expensive if planned to implement it especially if you've been in bigger organizations. If you're uprooting legacy systems and implementing something else, be ready for the pushback and the consequences, right? So you need to think about those things. And I think all of those things come naturally to a PM. I'm a little biased towards them, obviously. Yes. So it does come naturally to us, thinking about the business, thinking about the cost, as well as cutting out that noise and just reading things that are relevant to you.
Thanks for sharing. And to your point, attending conferences or maybe even webinars, there's so many opportunities again now, and especially that things have been open for a while again after the pandemic, to really meet in person, to engage, to have that dialogue, and in addition to getting the information here, have that exchange with your peers to understand what are people already knowing, what are they exploring, and so on. So, Supri, maybe we can take a look at the chat. One attendee is asking, do you know of any LLMs that are particularly good in the field of product management? Maybe we can connect it also with the second question, which is, with the emergence of AI-powered code completion tools, to what extent will project management governance still be required in the future of software development? And how can project managers effectively integrate and leverage these tools to ensure project success and maintain governance standards? So, are you aware of any LLMs for product management, and how do you see this evolve around code completion and the collaboration between PMs and software developers?
Yeah, I would say that I think obviously it'll depend on your use case. And one thing that I feel is the struggle that there are all of these open source codes, and some have a lot more parameters than the others. So it becomes difficult when you have to demystify them for your use case, specifically if you don't have that talent. And I do advise startups and talk to startups who are struggling with the same problem, that they have all of these options, but which one to choose. So I think it's a game of exploration and exploitation. I have personally explored the open source code by Meta, which I felt was really good, just because it was also easy to interpret and less parameters. It has some great use cases, so I would highly recommend that.
How can we make it easier for people that are just starting to learn about this, or that wonder, need to learn about this technology? How can we make it easier for them to understand what it is, to manage that transition?
Yeah, I think it's a two-step process, according to me. One is that the people who really understand this technology need to hold forums. It could be within your company. It could be outside to explain people who need that layman explanation. And you have to do that same with your senior leadership. They would want to know what you're exactly doing. And the second thing is that you, if you're coming from a business background, need to be ready for that upskill. You need to be ready to absorb that knowledge. And I think that is where sometimes the gap comes in. If you're from business, you might say, okay, I don't have to learn all this, but you do have to. You do have to upskill yourself a little bit to be more comfortable with those kind of things. So if we have that, I would say, mutual partnership between the technical teams and the business teams, we might be able to achieve the goal.
Wonderful. Thanks. I think that puts it very nicely into perspective, right? It's not just the data team's responsibility. It's not just the technology team's responsibility. And it's not just the product team's responsibility, but there's an equal accountability on the business side as well to learn about this, to keep up, and to understand where can we actually use this. So in partnership, you can identify these opportunities. Great way to summarize that. I see there's another question in the chat around what are the elements that need to be in AI ethics policy? And we've talked about that previously with Reid Blackman, with Ravi Dotan on this show. So I would recommend take a look at those two recordings to learn more about AI ethics. I feel we keep seeing so many articles and research already also that show how large language models built on data from predominantly Western or American parts of the web. So they inadvertently include and regurgitate those Western values. And I think that's a problem everywhere else in the world where English isn't the dominant language, where we don't have Western or even American values. Where it's a sense of, well, are we imposing that consciously, some consciously, on other parts of the world? What do you think is required to make AI products more inclusive? And maybe that also goes beyond just the values and regional perspectives.
Yes, I think that's a great question we all need to think about. And at the end of the day, even when I'm using all of the AI tools, and specifically when I'm trying to create my headshot or a picture, it's not able to even capture features for a person like me who was born in India and has certain specific features. So I think that kind of validates the fact that you said that our products are still not inclusive. But I think, as they say, AI is as good as your data. There is a strong need to have a detailed analysis as to how does my data look like. Is it representative of everything and everyone in the world, or is it biased in a sense that it just captures Western values? And I feel like there needs to be that kind of accountability in terms of specific teams who take care of that. Just because if you're an AI engineer, you're already too close to the problem if you're working on that, right? So you need that outside perspective just to see if my model is fair enough, right? And is it inclusive enough? And does it accommodate everyone? And the second part, I would say, of the solution is that the people who are making the decisions, and we all know that when it comes to AI solutions, there is a lot of business involvement as well. Are those inclusive too? What do those people look like? So you have to look around and see, is my room colorful enough? Does it have all the perspectives? Just so that unique perspective can plug in when you are thinking about your product and AI strategy.
I love how you phrase that, right? Is my room colorful enough? Like, I've never heard that somebody express it that way, but I think that captures it so nicely in all the different aspects and facets that are needed to bring these diverse perspectives and different perspectives around the table and make sure that you cover it from all possible angles. Now, we've talked about regional specifics. What do you think? Are we all going to create content that looks and sounds American and maybe includes references to American pop culture? What risk do you see if we're using more and more AI to generate content, and do we all sound the same at some point?
I think that's happening already. If you see some of the LinkedIn posts, like, they all look the same. They have those very typical icons. The way that a post is, I think about from a lens that, okay, will I ever talk like this? English is not my first language, right? But even if it was, will I ever talk like this? How GPT presents the views sometimes. And when you see that content, and if you think that it cannot be you, then that's not the content for you. You can get inspiration, but you can't really imitate that content and post it online, because ultimately people will know. I use GPT as well, but I use it more to generate ideas and overcome my writer's block. But I think those are the things that you need to ask yourself, and you need to be your own principal in some way when it comes to those things.
Perfect. I think very much alike, right? Some of the content that you see looks pretty generic, or the other day I was seeing some examples online where somebody just copied and pasted things, and it was, I'm a large language model trained up until September 2021. It's pretty obvious where they come from. So that leads to a whole different problems, challenges, and credibility. Right.
Exactly. Yeah. You mentioned it, right? Credibility, which is very important.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly. So I'm taking a look at the chat again, and there are a few more questions. For example, can generative AI enhance the capabilities of product teams in developing conversational AI solutions?
Yeah, I feel like conversational AI is obviously being impacted. I think with the launch of GPT, once it was available, everyone started thinking about and having a close look at their existing conversational AI solutions and how they could be enhanced with the generative AI. But what it would mean for product teams specifically, it would impact their day-to-day. And as I was saying, that some things like building a data bot to have conversations on the data elements, that is one thing that PMs and others can get impacted. Others could be giving the commands to create slides, right? Or you're managing your Jira tickets day in and day out. All of those things can be reformed and transformed using conversational AI. So definitely, I think it would have an impact. I haven't seen any use case coming out where companies are like, oh, we have implemented that. But I definitely feel there will be an impact.
So now I know you're in a product role, right? And we've been talking quite a bit about generative AI and the opportunities and how you can upskill. But I'm wondering what excites you the most about generative AI and what's the biggest learning opportunity that you see?
I would say there have been people who have been in their roles for 20, 25 years. They've been doing the same thing day in and day out. And when I see their excitement for this generative AI, it actually makes me excited. They have this very strong background, the subject matter expertise on these particular topics that no one has because they've been in the industry for such a long time. That leveraged with a tool that can do all of their, I would say, mundane tasks, that's a perfect combination right there. And I think that is exactly how we have to imagine our future, which is obviously you need to be good at whatever you do. You have to be an expert at whatever field you are in, whatever job you are doing. And then keep thinking about what mundane task can I automate through AI. And I think everyone's going to be an AI product manager. And you start thinking about that, right? So those are the things that we need to think about. And when you will be passionate about that use case, and I think I do the same when I'm really passionate about, okay, this is what I need to learn. I start talking to other people. I start researching it on the internet as to what is happening for that particular use case. And that is the best way we all can upskill ourselves, and I am excited about.
How can anybody not want to become a product manager after that answer? That's awesome. I'm so glad seeing your excitement and sharing that excitement here with the community as well and what you're seeing in the product management space as well. Now, Supreet, I was wondering, as we're getting close to time, if you can summarize the three key takeaways for our audience today from our conversation.
I think the first key takeaway is don't be scared of AI. I know that many of you text me and message me on LinkedIn, you know, that you're feeling sad or depressed and are really worried about this. I would say you don't need to be any of that. It's not a monster. It's going to help us. So look at it with an optimistic lens. And this is the best time to upskill yourself as all of these free resources are available for you. Second, if you really want to start in the space, I would highly recommend Google's certification on generative AI. You can start looking into that. It's free and they start from basics and then I would say upskill you to a lot of the components of generative AI. The third thing is start noting down the use cases today. You might not know what can be automated in the next year or so. So start thinking like an AI product manager.
Thank you so much for sharing that. Look, we're getting close to the end of the show. Thanks for joining us, Supreet, and for sharing your expertise with us. And thank you to those of you in the audience for learning with us.
Thank you so much for joining and learning with us. See you next time for another round of the Intelligence Briefing, What's the Buzz?